This is Missioning, Baptist Mission Australia's podcast and a space to explore mission, faith, life call, and everything in between. Welcome.
We acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations as the traditional owners of this land on which we record this podcast today. We pay respect to their elders past, present, and emerging.
Welcome to Missioning. My name is Susan and I'm part of the leadership team at Baptist Mission Australia and I'm your host for the Mending series. Over the next four episodes, we'll be looking at this theme of mending, joining with God in mending a beautiful and broken world. I'm very excited to get to know our guests for today's podcast, Luke and Belle. Luke and Belle, great to see you. Yeah. Can you tell us where are you and how do you fit into the Baptist Mission Australia community?
So we were sent out from Brisbane, but we're living in Thailand. We've been here about 9 years now. Been serving as a part of the Thailand team. We've had some exciting changes in the last year. But we're still here. We're still here serving the Thai people.
Fantastic. Now, I've known you for over a decade and have met your three beautiful children. Belle, can you introduce your family to us? And what's something that you like to do together?
We've got three boys. Our oldest, Salem, is 10, Judah, 6, and Isaiah, 4. As you know, family with boys, so we like doing a lot of active things, but we also just like staying home too. So a good movie, and nice food. That's me more so than the kids, really.
A little while ago, we decided we wanted to mark the weekend, like the end of the week. And so every Friday night, we do a movie night, put on a movie and order pizza and do that. And occasionally we'll invite one of the boys' friends or something.
Where I live in Melbourne, Friday night, we get Thai. So, you know, we could just do swapsies.
Awesome. Yeah.
Perfect.
All right. Our theme for this podcast is mending. Joining God in mending a beautiful and broken world. Our theme for this one is about renewing. It starts with us. So what comes to mind when you hear that? Renewing, it starts with us.
Straight away, I'm reminded of Romans 12:2, you know, talking about do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's actually, and the important thing actually after that talks about how we can discern God's will by renewing our mind. And that's kind of part of the journey that we've had to go through in the renewing of our minds to be able to see God's perfect will.
Yeah, the fact that if we want God to move in this world, if we want to be a positive influence for the kingdom in this world, that revival's got to start here in our hearts first. It's got to start in us, in our lives, in our thoughts and you know, how we think and how we perceive the world and in our families. You know, ministry and evangelism and all those things, really they can only come from the overflow of that personal connection, that revival that starts here in your heart first, you know.
Yeah, fantastic. You said earlier that there's been exciting things happening for you, and over this past year you've been going through a process of discernment, of trying to seek what God's leading in your life and your ministry. This has led you to a new partnership with an organization in Thailand and a different ministry space. Can you share a little bit more about that journey and how you have sought God's leading in that?
It was a little over a year ago now that we started to just feel like God was leading us to something new, although we didn't know what that was yet. It took us a little while to kind of get on the same page and, you know, just in that wrestle of discerning, okay, what does that mean? What does it look like? What do we have to leave behind? What do we have to let go of? All of that. And when we kind of got to the point where we decided, no, yeah, we have to take this leap of faith, even though we don't even really know where we're headed to yet. God is so good. We trust him. Let's just go for it. So we started just stepping out in little ways. And then, through a wonderful series of serendipitous, is that the word? Wonderful series of events. We got connected to this foundation here in Chiang Rai called Don Sida, which just translates as the cedar tree. And their mission, their vision is to empower young Thai people to find meaning and purpose in their work by helping them start small businesses and to be a positive impact in that sphere for the kingdom, to make it more than just about business and profit and that kind of thing, but to be a light in that space.
So actually, Luke talks about just over a year ago, but, you know, God had given us pictures and dreams and words and even scripture that dates a bit, you know, like 4 or 5 years before that, talking about like areas that we would be involved in. I remember just this dream. We were in the process of seeking God about whether we would move to Prey. So we were living in Nan at that time. So it's just two different provinces, right? And so we were asking God to confirm, like, would you speak to us, Lord? Tell us if we are to move here and what are we to do? Like, just give us something, you know? And we were just willing and open to hear. And at that time, Moana, our team leader, was there visiting us in Nan, and even another director. And we just shared this dream because it's like, this is so out of our sphere of influence. It was the dream, basically, it was saying we were to be involved in business and hospitality. Now, in the middle of nowhere, rural village, like there's not a lot of businesses. There's a lot of little shops, uncles and aunties shops kind of thing, but there isn't, you know, it's not a city. Hospitality, you know, like we exercise that in our homes, but there's not like a hotel or like, okay, so I had to kind of really seek God and say, what do you mean, you know? But that was kind of the gist of the dream, and we just held that, you know? And it was cool because when we shared this with our director, he kind of said, you know, sometimes when we receive things like that, it might not be for now. It might be for the future. And looking back, remembering his words, it's really cool how, oh, now we are working with entrepreneurs, people who have businesses. And that's really kind of, hindsight is really helpful, isn't it? But
We see that dream still outworking itself and still kind of not quite fully realized. But we see this, I guess, new partnership as a part of that, God fulfilling that dream.
And going back to, you know, talking about renewing, and it all starts with us. Actually, it's in that secret place, that time we spend with God, that our prayer life, and how we read scripture, how we interact with the Holy Spirit. And those things are what will help us discern what God is actually asking of us.
I love that in your story of this discernment period, there is other people, there is dreams, there is conversations with each other. And you've learned some stuff along the way about being in step with the Spirit. What are some of those things?
We were just talking this morning, actually, over coffee about how there's no point where we've made it. You know, the fact that we're like missionaries on the field doesn't mean that we've like kind of ticked a box or like we're righteous now. Like, yes, Jesus has bought us righteousness, but the word also tells us that righteousness is something that we should continually pursue. There's never a point where we're going to get to like, oh, you know, I've made it, I've learned everything, I understand everything, or I've grown fully and matured fully, and like we're always going to be growing in righteousness and maturity in Christ. Yeah, so there's always things that the Holy Spirit is continuing to put on our hearts just to work on this. I like to picture it as like the garden of our heart, that the Holy Spirit is continually partnering with us in tending that garden, cleaning up some of the mess and taking out some of the rubbish, but seeing it grow and mature, right, and bear fruit.
Yeah. For me, keeping in step with the Spirit means a lot of mistakes, getting it wrong a lot. And even when I feel like, okay, I've learned that lesson, God, it's kind of like I forget and then I have to relearn it again, right? But
so human, Belle. I'm so human.
Type 1 personality can't handle it. But I was just remembering like when we were in prayer. So we did end up moving to prayer and we're there for about 2 years during COVID. Like most people, I felt that was like our wilderness season. It wasn't just hard on the outside, but actually it was hard on the inside. And for us, a wilderness season is when, you know, we were trying to seek God and kind of go, God, you told us to come here and we came here. And how come we're not, you know, like we're not thriving and we're not able to do what we want to do, which is like to be able to share gospel, to see people come to believe in Jesus. And that time was really testing. But I was saying to Luke too, like when in the wilderness, when there's no water, right? So before that, we were just used to water. Like we could get water and drink it and take it for granted. Like being around the presence of God and just really loving that time and being filled. And, you know, it's just awesome. And then we get to the wilderness where it's dry and there's no water. Mm. And all of a sudden, the thing that we have taken for granted is not there. And so you get a drop of water and it's like, oh, I didn't realize how thirsty I was, or, you know, like, and it's just like that. It was that time when it was dry and it was hard. But coming out of that season meant that we could look back and remember, do you remember how hard it was? Do you remember how dry it felt? Now there's a bit of perspective in when it comes to discerning what God is saying or walking with the Spirit. It's like, okay, I know what it was like without the Holy Spirit, and that was horrible. And now to be able to be in the presence and be aware of that is just awesome.
Mm.
Yeah. We just don't want to take it for granted anymore. Until we forget, and then we have to learn it all over again, right?
True. Too true. But surely each time it goes a little bit deeper, right?
Yeah.
Thinks a little bit and is there when we need it. The kind of memory of that story, like, you know, the Old Testament is so helpful to remember the time God did this, remember the time God did that, and you're building up this wealth of all these stories and all these experiences to draw on when you need them.
Mm.
Yeah. I love your description, Luke, of your heart or ourselves being like the garden that the Holy Spirit tends to, gets rid of the muck and fertilizes and grows and tends to the good things in our life where fruit might be born. There's a wonderful link there to Galatians 5 passage where we read about the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Is there a time where you experienced the Spirit growing a particular fruit in you?
Lately for me, it's been self-control, actually. Mm-hmm. God just convicting me of things that aren't necessarily sinful in and of themselves, but they're things that hold my gaze, things that keep me distracted and keep me from pressing into God and really depending on Him, seeking Him and just spending time with Him. So through, like we talked about earlier, through that wilderness season, you know, that we were isolated, by the end of it, we'd kind of really burnt out. Mm-hmm. So we'd also developed, I'd certainly developed some bad habits of using social media, using things like YouTube as a numbing agent to kind of just like forget all of our woes and our worries and focus on something that just entertains me or, you know, it was a lot of educational stuff as well. I love learning in that way. But yeah, lately God has been convicting me of that and just showing me how much it holds my attention and how sometimes even I've put it before God. And so I've really felt God moving in that way in me, teaching me self-control, teaching me because like Paul says, you know, I do the things that I don't want to do and I don't do the things that I know I want to do. I feel God growing that in my garden, right, in the garden of my heart, teaching me actually these things that hold your attention, these things that are, you know, fun and good even. There's nothing wrong with them. But when they become the focus, when they become the thing that holds your attention, it's not good because they have no eternal value. It has absolutely no eternal value. But the thing that does is my relationship with God, my relationship with the Father, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, and allowing God to speak to me in the secret place, in those times when no one else can see, no one else is watching, you know, devouring, like we talk about consuming media, right? God wants us to be consuming His Word, to be putting that in us. So then it starts coming out naturally without it being forced or without it being weird, you know?
I think it really shows we got to realize our brokenness first to be able to step into receiving actually what God wants to give us to bear those fruits. For me, it's patience because, you know, I want it now. I want to get it done and I've got a plan. But actually, it's not my timing. And even if God reveals something to me, it doesn't mean it's now. And that's a bit of a theme of my life. So just recognizing the seasons, just like, you know, to keep the fruit analogy going, like there's seasons of bearing fruit, there's seasons of pruning, there's seasons of watering. And I think that's, you know, for me, learning to be patient and allow God in His timing to do whatever it is that has to happen in the garden.
Mm.
I love the thread of that we've talked about, renewing in our hearts, the garden of our heart, and then there's renewing in relationships with others, colleagues, friends, marriage, and leading towards the fruit of renewing of communities. And as you're working with young Thai entrepreneurs to build their own businesses, social enterprises, it's again that renewing even beyond the inner or the together into the outer world. And there's a flow on effect through it all. God is at work, hey?
Yeah.
In Chiang Rai and all over the world.
Yeah.
So how is God inviting you to be a co-mender in his work?
In November last year, we started this market, which was just a crafts market. It's giving entrepreneurs a space to sell their handmade products. And it was a process of application. And so anyone who has a business can apply. So one person had applied to sell sugarcane juice. Now, sugarcane is so common here. It's, you know, dime a dozen, and it's not craft, you know, like, oh, this is special, anything like that. But she had the creativity to just mix some recipes up, and it was really cool.
Actually really nice.
Yeah, she probably sold the most out of all the other entrepreneurs out of just the simple sugarcane juice. So we ran this market for about 3 months, and in that time she had trouble with some of the people she was sourcing the sugarcane from. It was messy, it was broken, and this lady is not a believer, you know, but she's had a hard life before, and she was just trying to do something to improve her life. And now comes this other hard bit that just is not great for her. Her business starts to get going. And just in conversation, being able to speak to her and kind of counsel her through that hard stuff, it's just really cool to see how God has brought her in to the foundation. And now actually we're working with her, and she's going to join another part of our program that will help her grow her business, even if she doesn't have the support of the supplier. Yeah, it is about relationship. It is about starting from zero to slowly to a deeper relationship. And I think being able to go through the hard stuff together is just an automatic like deepening of relationship in that shared hard stuff. Yeah. So yeah, so she's on her way, you know, like to knowing who Jesus is. And I think glimpses of that is through how we interact with her. And now she's part of the foundation and working with us a bit more closely. And so by doing life on life more, we hope that, this the God of mending, the restoring God will just work in her heart and her family as well.
Now you're there right in the middle of Chiang Rai, and you've been around there for 9 years, so you have a growing depth of your understanding of Thai culture and Thai food and other cool stuff. So is there a fruit of the spirit that you see is really kind of evident and easy in Thai culture that might be less so when you reflect on your lives back here in Australia?
The one I guess we kind of see is gentleness. Thai culture is a really gentle culture. It's not that Australian culture or other cultures aren't gentle, but it's just a focus within Thai culture. There's a high value placed on, they call it, people say jayen, like, which means have a cool heart, right? And like in English, we would say don't be cold hearted, right? But actually in Thai culture, it's good to have a cool heart rather than a hot heart. And it's more speaking to your attitude towards things. Like, don't get hot headed, don't get angry, don't react too much to things. Like, just, you know, be chill, be, you know, like it's jayen. Right. And there's certainly a high value placed on that kind of gentleness of there's another phrase that Thais use a lot, and that is kreng chai. And kreng chai is hard to translate in English. We don't really have a word for it, but maybe you can help me out here. It's the idea that you don't want to impose on people.
Yeah. It's being considerate of others in a way that, they're not going to like this, so we're going to do something else in consideration of that person. It's so funny because my language nurturer, she explained that when she was a little girl, her grandma would teach her, this is manners, okay? So if you're walking, you can't stomp around. You have to walk really lightly, and you know, like the smallest footprint possible is like the most ideal. Uh-huh. And part of it is like this gender thing, or like you're female, you have to do it this way. But also, like, it says a lot about the gentleness of the Thai people, and it's like, oh, you know, welcome, yeah. And you know, like,
mm, yeah. So it's a high value within Thai culture. Yeah.
What fruit of the spirit have you needed to grow in because of the ministry context where you are?
For me, I think love. I'm an extrovert and I love being with people, mm-hmm. but also working with people and in being in the business of relationships is also the challenge. And I think to be able to love people the way that God loves is something I always ask God to give me the heart for, because sometimes I just want to not be nice, mm-hmm. or and if people hurt me, I don't want to forgive, mm-hmm. and that's all my brokenness, my flesh speaking, right? Mm-hmm. And so to submit that to God and ask God to actually give me love, mm-hmm. for the people who might not love me.
Yeah. Thanks, Belle. So Tonsidhar sounds really interesting. Startups, entrepreneurs with young Thais in an urban city like Chiang Rai. Can you tell us a bit more about what your roles are with Tonsidhar?
So I'm kind of an all-rounder at the moment. Whatever program is coming up, we just prepare to get that up and running. So we were able to run a craft market in November last year for about 3 months. Mm-hmm. And then now we are moving into a startup academy. So we're preparing materials to kind of facilitate people to work with their business, you know, basically understand their business more and see if their product fits their market.
Yeah.
And similar for me, I've just found ways that I can help out and use my gifts, use what I can do. So I've been helping out in the setup for the market that we've run, and just building some little things, doing some woodwork. We also run a little cafe bakery from the office. One of the entrepreneurs who was early in with Tonsidhar, she runs her cafe bakery from the office here, and I've helped out with some little bit of woodworking. I'm certainly no carpenter, but I've got a saw and a drill, and I can stick some stuff together.
He's our resident handyman. Yeah. So if something's broken, he has to go have a look at it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. And Tonsidhar is a faith-based organization. What does that look like?
One of our taglines is shaping the culture of work. It means that we have to understand what God thinks of work. Mm. And actually, work is not bad. It's not a result of the curse. Like, God worked when he created. That part of what does it mean to work and be a believer? Because in Thailand, there's this assumption that if you're a Christian, you have to work in the church to serve God. But actually what we're saying is, no, God gives us all these different gifts, and we can exercise those skills and gifts in the marketplace, in wherever we are, wherever we're working. We can use those and still be serving God, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Fantastic.
So really the heartbeat of Tonsidhar Foundation is to be alongside Rai. And in that process of sharing life together, sharing skills, blessing the people that we work with, then they get to encounter the living Jesus, right? So that's our heartbeat here. And
yeah, we've had to, relearn again a little bit what it means to serve in this context. We've gone from a rural Thai context to an urban Thai context. And so it's really different. I remember when we first moved to Chiang Rai, we tried to keep operating in that rural kind of mode of operation, right? And it just wasn't working. We weren't able to connect with our neighbors. Like, we were like, what's wrong? What's different? You know, and we realized, oh yeah, it's a city. This isn't a small, tightly knit, everyone's related to each other, everyone knows each other's business kind of little village. This is the city. People come and go. There's uni students, there's tourists everywhere. There's a lot more movement. And so we had to kind of, learn how to operate in that. And then now working with a team in an office in the city is really different again. It's challenged our language, challenged all of those assumptions again. Yeah, I guess it's just different. It's a continual learning curve, right? But it's been good. God has just, been gracious through it all.
Luke and Belle, it's been a delight hearing more of your heart and your story. And I want to finish our time together by praying for you now. In our Mending Leader's Guide, there's a beautiful prayer written by Graham Hill that I'd like to pray over you and also many of our listeners who are also working out what does it mean to be co-menders with God in the communities where he has placed all of us. Let's pray together. Creator God, we humbly come before you, seeking guidance to walk by your Spirit, avoiding the desires of the flesh. Cultivation within us of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Strength to live in a community that reflects your Spirit, fostering unity and love among us. Encouragement to embrace our role as co-menders in your kingdom, using our gifts and experiences to bring healing and hope. Clarity to discern your will and direction in our lives and the courage to follow where you lead. Inspiration from those around us who live by the Spirit, learning from their examples and being spurred on to grow. And a deepened commitment to living out the fruits of the Spirit in all our lives, impacting those we meet with your love and your grace. Amen. Thank you for being with us today at Missioning. Our next episode of our Mending series will be out next week, where we focus on the theme of relating. It's all about relationships. If you have any questions from this conversation or would like to explore what it means to join with God in his mending work, then please get in touch with us at Baptist Mission Australia. Also, take a look at the rest of the mending resources on our website. They are there for you and your church community to help you engage with God's mission and how our teams are embodying the gospel. Thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.